It's our season two premiere. Welcome, welcome. It's so good to be back. Thank you to General Motors for sponsoring this episode. Learn more about equity and sustainability at GM.com.
So home to me means somewhere you always return to. For me, I would say Virginia is my home because that's where I grew up at and became who I was. Home is wherever I can make art and be with friends. When I travel, you know, that's where home is. Home has been wherever I've been.
So for me, I would say home is the earth. The ground is being centered.
If it tells me that there's change that needs to happen, then I will listen and follow suit by what I feel.
The idea of home has changed for many of us over the past year. From the physical ones we inhabited through quarantines to the land and environments these houses sit on, we are dealing with realities that are changing every day. So where is it safe to build a home? Where do we go to settle our feet? And besides bringing less ribs to the cookout, what can we do to support our environment? I'm talking to Leah Thomas, aka Green Girl Leah, about how to take practical action. She's an eco-communicator with a love for writing and creativity, and she's passionate about educating, advocating, and exploring the relationship between social justice and environmentalism. Like she says, she's trying to make the world a little more equal for everyone and a little nicer to our home planet. So please help me welcome Leah Thomas, aka Green Girl Leah. How would you describe what you do? I love that you call yourself an eco-communicator. Can you break down what that is?
Absolutely. So I took an environmental science and policy class and I fell in love with it. So I started studying environmental science in school. And I remember being so passionate about everything I was learning, but then I would go back home for summer breaks and try to convince my family why they should care about the planet. And I was using all of these words that were really inaccessible. And quite honestly, I started to think if someone came to me and said climate change, environmental justice, all of these things, I wouldn't be able to understand. And that lack of understanding would mean that I wouldn't be able to take action. So I think really early on, I realized if I wanted to be an environmentalist, I wanted to be a communicator that could make any information about the climate crisis, environmental justice, et cetera, really accessible so people could take action.
And all right, I have to ask you, what is climate change?
In essence, climate change really just means that the ways that humans are behaving and the industries that we have releases a ton of greenhouse gas emissions, like carbon and methane. It creates this thick shield in our atmosphere, so these things can't escape. And because of that shield, it's getting warmer and warmer, and it's changing the climate in different parts of the world.
Wow. Okay. So essentially, it's the effects and results of the things that we are doing to the world that is changing the climate as we know it.
Absolutely.
Goodness gracious.
I want to say that a lot of communities of color are already inherently very sustainable and have cultural traditions that they can embrace. I think oftentimes in kind of mainstream white environmental spaces, people kind of phrase it as something you have to buy your way into. Like you have to buy this really expensive Tupperware set and you have to buy this really expensive electric car. But when I think about my grandma and growing up with her and her reusing her plastic bags, her using, you know, her cookie tin for sewing materials and, you know, various other things that weren't cookies, I think about that. And I think a lot of people can start with their ancestral traditions and kind of ask, like, what would my grandma do? Mm. It's about reusing what you already have, holding on to things for as long as you can. And those are some really quick ways to be kind of sustainable at home.
First, thank you for mentioning our grandmas and the cookie tins, because if there's one thing that is not in those tins, it's cookies. It's everything but cookies. And my mommy still has one. I need one. I got to get me a cookie tin. What are some of the things that are the biggest misinformations that you've seen about climate change that you really want people to know the truth about?
I think a lot of people, when they talk about climate change, it's this really macro issue. People aren't talking about how environmental issues are impacting communities today. And it's not just about a hypothetical future, like 50 years from now, when people always say, well, the Earth, it's going to increase by 1 or 2 degrees Celsius. And that means all these things for like icebergs. But we have an environmental injustice crisis right now that's impacting so many Black communities around the United States and around the world because they're placing those pollutants and they're doing that environmental extraction in our neighborhoods. So that's a really big misconception that it's about the future when really it's about the present and how it's impacting people now.
In what ways are you seeing the environmental injustices happen right now in our communities?
So when I was studying environmental science, each study that I did, I found, oh my goodness, okay. So the toxic waste sites and the landfills are primarily placed in Black neighborhoods. Mm. The air pollution is at least twice as high in Black communities, regardless of income. Our water is more often to be containing things like lead and other pollutants. And I remember being one of the only Black students in my classroom, like sounding all of these alarms while people were talking about saving the polar bears 50 years from now and saying, do you not realize the toxic conditions in which Black Americans are living in every day and how that's impacting things like whether so many health outcomes, our life expectancy? And then when I dove into it even more, this research has been done for a really long time. And I want to give a shout out to, they call her the mother of environmental justice, Hazel M. Johnson. And she described this phenomena that's happening to African Americans as living in a toxic donut. Our neighborhoods are surrounded by environmental pollutants. People are dumping hazardous waste in our water, and it's leading to really serious outcomes. And I think the kind of light bulb moment for me, so I'm from Florissant, Missouri, a town that's about 10 minutes outside of Ferguson, Missouri. My studies with environmentalism kind of coincided with kind of the eruption of the Black Lives Matter movement. And I was really looking for ways that I could participate. And I saw the way my hometown was being kind of consumed with everything that was happening. So I thought, okay, what are basic human needs? People need the right to breathe in every aspect of that. Maybe I can help tackle the aspect of just making sure people have clean and non-polluted air. And that's the way that I could make a difference in this overall movement. So I think that is forever on my mind and thinking about people having the right to breathe in every facet of its meaning.
General Motors is committed to helping us all grow as a community. And this starts with inspiration, a blueprint. What sets us apart is how we come together. We boost each other up and refuse to back down. How we electrify the movement is unmatched. And when one of us wins, we all win. General Motors is proud of its commitment to equitable sustainability and creating an electric future for everyone. Learn more at gm.com. Everybody in. I've always heard the people that I consider to be the folks on the street corners with the signs like, yo, the man is getting us, like, no, they were not lying. Like, it's really in the air, in the water. This is crazy.
And I think that really caused the disconnect between me and kind of the mainstream white environmental education movement. Because when I see this data, this is a life or death issue that needs to be acted on with urgency. And, you know, I care about the polar bears, but I care about people right now. That's something that even my family in St. Louis are like, it's the middle of January and it was like 70 degrees today. And then 3 days later, it started snowing. So even just having really irregular weather patterns, people are starting to notice. In New York, sometime last year, there was a flood. There were these huge floods through the streets of New York.
Yes, I was there. Right? It was scary. Oh, it was so scary. People's cars were floating in Brooklyn. I'm like, this looks like, you know, I hate to even bring it up, but like New Orleans, or like, you know, we're so used to seeing those floods in coastal areas. So the fact that it was flooding is a major turn of events to let me and everyone know, like, oh, stop playing. Like, this is real.
No, no. Like, that was absolutely insane. And I think people are starting to realize, especially this last year, like, there's so many fires happening in California. There's floods happening in New York. It's sunny in places that should be cold. It's raining when it shouldn't be. There's so many things. So we need to start designing our cities better to kind of mitigate some of these impacts and have more resources. We might have to start lifting cities up a little bit and pushing them back. So a lot of those things are going to have to happen with funding. People can try their best to lift their homes and do those sorts of things, but without significant policy changes, then it's going to be a little difficult.
Wow. You mean like literally lifting, physically lifting people's homes, environments, everything, and like pushing it back away from the sea and the rising sea levels and all that?
Yeah.
Scary.
We're
going to need some marches for sure. In the most optimistic, perfect world, what do you hope will have changed in 50 years?
In my perfect future, and really it's funny because these are basic human needs, but I want people to be able to breathe clean air, not be disproportionately negatively impacted by environmental injustices because of their race. I want people to be able to drink clean water, and I want people to like breathe, and not only breathe, but just be able to find joy. And I think to be able to do that, you at least need your minimum human rights to be considered. This shouldn't be an uphill battle, but I think it might take some time to get there. And then hopefully that happens before then, but we'll see.
You have a book coming out called The Intersectional Environmentalist. Tell me a little bit about it and why every person should have it.
Well, this is my first book, and I think it's really just my goal of bringing accessible environmental education to everyone, a type of environmentalism that is rooted in diversity, equity, and inclusion, and tells the, in my opinion, the true history of environmentalism, talking about a lot of incredible Black and Brown environmental justice leaders and researchers. And it really is just an environmental justice 101 book. So if anyone wants to learn about their community and the air pollution that might be there, how they can combat things like food insecurity in their neighborhoods, and really just learn about all these theories that sometimes people just spout on about, like myself, without giving a bit of a primer. That's what this book is, and I hope people like it.
Leah's forthcoming book, The Intersectional Environmentalist, is available for pre-order now and goes on sale March 8th. All right, everyone, please help me welcome legendary rapper, activist, philanthropist, founder, and just all-around leader, Master P, who's famous for not only his incredible music, but also for his massive love of his hometown of New Orleans, baby. Shout out to the Noya in the building. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm great. I appreciate you guys having me today.
Of course, we are honored to have you. I am so honored to have you. I want to ask you now, you have done so much. How do you describe now who Master P is?
Well, I feel like I have grown and I evolved from just being a hip-hop artist and to be able to understand the importance of empowering our culture and our people. That's so important for me to be able to not only feed my family, but to feed other people's families and to be able to give back. And I tell people all the time, success is measured on what you do with the wealth that you have. We can't take this with us. This is temporary success. I put my trust and faith in God. And I just get up every day, even through my failures. I want to leave something on this planet of integrity. When people say, well, what is integrity? Integrity is doing the right thing when nobody's looking.
So tell me a little bit about the Hurricane Ida experience and how you were able to get boots on the ground to help your people.
Hurricane Ida, it affected us. And we're still going through it right now. Some people still don't have power. It really affect us as Louisiana. We had to figure out how to bounce back, and we have been doing that. I just thank God that we was in a place that we was able to give back millions to be able to help our people.
New Orleans is such a special place. I was actually just at a bachelorette party with 18 girls, 10 of them from New Orleans. So it was literally like the best time ever. And no matter what, I always ask my friend, she's from the, I think the 9th Ward. She often talks about everything that she lost during Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah.
And she doesn't talk about it much, but when she does, you can see the pain there. But then all of the women that I know from New Orleans are the most joyous women, the happiest women, the funniest women that I have ever met.
New Orleans is a place to where when we love hard. We love our people. We make sure our people eat. We make sure our people got roots over their head. New Orleans people, they come together and they appreciate whatever they have. And that's what the culture is about. We make something out of nothing. And we fall a lot, but we get back up. And I think that's what it's about. Because, you know, you have so many hurricanes that you have to deal with. You have to be strong. You got to be prepared. And what I love about what New Orleans taught me, you can lose it all and get back up and keep going. And that's what life is about.
That's right. And speaking of the hurricanes, they seem to be coming more and more with climate change. How do you see climate change affecting hometowns like New Orleans in the future? Like, if you think about it maybe 5 years from now, how do you think climate change will have affected your hometown?
Well, I think it will affect my hometown in the next 5 years by a lot of people relocating, you know, because after a while, you just get tired of keep trying to figure out how to figure it out. But the greatest thing about it, when you go places and see other things and you create more ideas and more imagination and more dreams. And I see that it'll affect us by rebuilding, but it also affect us by putting more revenue back into the community, because wealth is about the ideas. I think when people go other places, they start dreaming and coming up with other ideas, and they never want to forget about where they came from. Even when I was in a project, I always said, man, I'm in a mansion. One day I'm going to be in that mansion. One day I'm going to be successful. That's why I work so hard, because I want my people to see that if I could do it, they could do it. Mm. It was a blessing that I'm in a good place where I'm at right now, because people think you measure success by money. No, you measure success by what you can give back. And people don't realize that, you know, the only way you can get rid of darkness is not with darkness, it's with light.
So talk to me a little bit about, you know, are you looking to do more to enlighten the community around climate change and really protecting this planet?
Yeah, so me protecting the planet and climate change, even with my water, when you look at the plastic, I was able to now create plastic that's reusable, that we can make a difference with. Because, you know, a lot of people throwing a lot of plastic into the ocean. My thing is, no, let's recycle this plastic. Let's grow into the glass bottles and stuff like that. So we are growing. And I think that people have to realize, don't be afraid to grow. Don't be afraid to do your part. Like, even the kids that I'm able to help that we have in the community, I'm saying, you know what? Let's pick our trash up. Let's not throw our trash. I know that, you know, you look at this like, oh, we're in a project. No, but you got to look at this the way I looked at it. Like, this is your mansion right now. You got to make the best of it. And this is the way we save the planet. This is the way we save us. And we talk about breathing the air here. Like, we got to be responsible for keeping what we have clean and explaining that to the children around us.
That was a gem right there. Like, just little things you could do, picking up trash, you know, making sure that your community is a mansion, or, you know, you treat it like a mansion no matter what. I've learned so much today from Master P and Green Girl Leah, and it has me thinking about my ideal home. And for me, an ideal home is on beautiful, healthy land that has a lot of trees so I can intake beautiful, fresh air. And I could be with my family and friends and support them and show up for them in the ways that Master P did, but also make sure that I'm growing an environment that is healthy for the community like Green Girl Leah taught us. Thank you so much to Master P and Green Girl Leah for your insights and stories and suggestions. Because I know I took notes and I definitely want to take action on climate change moving forward. I hope it inspired you to check out the show notes for more of these resources mentioned throughout the show to learn a little more. Next week, we'll be speaking to brilliant entrepreneurs about the grit, tenacity, and audaciousness it took to bring their ideas into existence. So if you're a person who's an entrepreneur, has a 9-to-5 and a side hustle, whatever it is, if you're a businessman or woman or person, it is time for you to tune in. We'll talk about access and entrepreneurship, what motivates their actions, and how they get it done. We'll see you next time. Don't forget to hit subscribe, give us a good rating, and follow us at More Than That Show on all platforms. Thanks again to General Motors for sponsoring this episode of More Than That. Head to GM.com to see the future where equity and sustainability meet for positive change. Everybody in.